This is Cruise Control.
Control.
Your on-air automotive magazine with co-hosts Fred Staub and Les
Cruise
Jackson.
Control.
Everything you need to know about new and used cars.
Control.
Industry news. We'll fix or repair your car on the air.
On the air.
Control.
Fasten your seatbelts and let us take the wheel.
Now, your ride is about to begin.
Cruise Control.
Because you're on
Cruise Control.
Cruise Control. Cruise Control.
And welcome to Cruise Control, your on-air automotive magazine with your hosts, Les Jackson. I'm at the wheel of the van. Fred Staub is over there kind of with a tear in his eye. Fred, I'm not going that fast.
Well, Les, it is a little bit unsettling when you have just one tread on four tires, but that's okay because we've got a lot to get to, and we're starting off this hour with what we call tariff talk. It's spreading across the auto industry. Could it mean some models will no longer be available, no longer imported, and insurance costs and parts theft will skyrocket? And could your U.S.-made vehicle cost more as well because of tariffs? We'll talk all about what the industry leaders are saying.
Absolutely. And second time around, if you missed your chance to buy a Ford GT, you just might get another shot. Well, there we go. Maybe I'll pull that big investment portfolio out and just grit my teeth and get one.
Yeah, I think you'll be looking for another place to live, but you will have a nice car.
Might live in the car.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah, last time they had people, you had to be interviewed before a board of people. So we'll talk about that. And Dodge rolls out the Scat Pack 1320 edition, which is a pretty cool vehicle. We'll talk about that, how they're leveraging the Demon onto other models.
Absolutely. And now you might know Peugeot again, of all brands. The European car manufacturer has a plan to return to the U.S. It's been, let's see, in my memory, since the early 90s.
Remember when they used to have that? I remember the commercials. Now you know Peugeot.
And yes, indeed. And their dealers had combined Peugeot Daihatsu dealerships.
That's a high volume dealership for sure. And we're gonna talk some tech. We're gonna talk turbo tech. Ferrari has a two-part electric turbo. They've got a patent on it. And that's some pretty interesting technology.
That is. And you, my friend, are going to give an at-the-wheel review of the new Hyundai Accent Limited sedan.
Yeah, pretty good.
Sedan?
Yeah.
Yeah,
you remember sedans? People used to buy them. Four-door vehicles. Yeah, we're going to have one of those reviews. All that and a whole lot more when we get rolling on this edition of Cruise Control Radio. Don't forget, check us out at cruisecontrolradio.com. Got a lot going on there. You can like us on Facebook, follow us on Twitter, check out our YouTube page. Over at our Facebook page, we have a link to a brand new video we did about the Nissan Kicks. You can check that out. So all there, cruisecontrolradio.com. I'm Fred Staub. He's Les Jackson. We will be right back after the break because we're just getting started with Cruise Control Radio. Buckle up, put your foot in it because there's plenty more to go. We'll be right back. Listen to the live feed of Cruise Control Radio every Saturday at 10 a.m. Eastern. Go to www.cruisecontrolradio.com to find out how to do it. Is your car starting to show its age? Over time, paint becomes oxidized, faded, and scratched. But you can restore that tired paint and repair those scratches with the paint restoration system from 3M. It's an affordable way to make those repairs in your garage in just one afternoon with basic tools. The kit contains all of the restoration products and polishing pads you need to bring your vehicle's paint back to like-new condition. For more information, visit www.3mcarcare.com.
Control.
And welcome back to Cruise Control Radio, your on-air automotive magazine with Fred Staub and Les Jackson. We're glad you are along for the ride. Tariff talk. Yeah, it's going on a lot around the auto industry. We're going to go through
some
of the articles that have been out this week and kind of give you an overview of what's going on and how it might affect what you have the chance to buy and for how much in the showroom. And we don't know if these things are going to go through. It could be saber rattling. It could be something other than what they're talking about now. But potentially, manufacturers are pretty worried about it. John Lippert had an article, a Bloomberg article, that said Toyota may halt U.S. imports of some models on if these tariffs go through. And this was from Jim Lentz, who is CEO of Toyota's North American operations. He said if it winds up being a 10% or 25% tariff, almost on a series-by-series basis, we've got to evaluate what we're going to do. In some series, we may raise prices. On other series, we may stop imports, and then consumers will have less choice. So,
well,
if you have some of these vehicles that are kind of on the bubble, like a lot of people like the 86, you know, the little sports car, and I believe that is not made in the U.S., that is made in Japan, that will go away because it just won't be profitable to bring it in because people won't buy it, right?
Well, exactly. If the price has to be raised so much, which is like a 25% tariff, people just won't buy them. They'll buy something else that doesn't have that extra cost on it.
Or they may not even get the chance to buy it because they not...
or that too, right.
Yeah. What about, like... What about, let's think about something like a Mazda MX-5 Miata. They're all built outside of the U.S. Not a lot of meat on the bone on that car. And if it costs 25% more, probably that wouldn't come in.
I think that would be the end of it.
Yeah. And what would Mazda do? Because I think, do they build anything in the U.S.? I don't think so. It's all built in Japan.
No, they don't, actually.
Yeah.
I think they would really be hurting.
Yeah. And then you look at the RAV4, which is the leading model in the U.S. last year. Sales jumped 16% to 408,000. They're all shipped into the country from Japan and Canada. So, see, in that case, I think Toyota would probably look to build them in the U.S. if these tariffs went through. So they're kind of keeping their options open. But, you know, certainly in the short run, many cars may not be available, right?
That's right. Plus, the other thing is that major components that are made outside, like engines, for instance, those would be subject to the tariffs, even though you have your factory here.
Yeah. Yeah. And this is from Reuters, an article. They're saying that the feds they're going to hear testimony today, this week, I guess it happened earlier this week, about some little discussed consequences. And it could raise up insurance rates and drive up auto thefts. Because now think about it. I remember this back. It used to be a weird thing back in the 80s, people used to steal the bumpers off of Cadillacs because it was eight bolts and you could get like $200 for it because it was a gigantic honking piece of metal. But think about it. If you could see cars stolen just to get the parts off of it, just get the crash parts off of it, because let's say you need a bumper cover or headlights or taillights, things that are easy to take off a car, or doors. You know, they could steal these things, so they have parts to repair them, right?
Exactly. This has very wide-reaching problems. Obviously, the insurance companies are going to be asking for rate increases because the cost of the parts is 25% greater.
Right.
This affects everyone.
Yeah, and you might say, no problem, I'll just buy something built in the U.S. But according to an Automotive News report, automakers would just spread these tariffs out throughout the lineup. So, you know, they use in this article, they use the idea of Buick selling the Chinese-built Envision. And that would mean that probably everything else in the Buick lineup would get an increase because they would keep selling the Envision and kind of put the price across the whole lineup. So it's a sticky wicket, as the British would say, isn't it?
Well, it is a sticky wicket, and, you know, I'm not burdened with an economics degree.
But we will talk more about that after the break. Stay tuned to Cruise Control Radio. For the latest updates on Cruise Control, follow us on Twitter at Cruise Control Rad. That's CRUISECTRLRAD. Cruise Control Rad.
Control.
And welcome back to Cruise Control. Lesson Fred here. We were talking about tariffs, and my gosh, we could probably talk about tariffs for the next several hours, but we won't.
We won't make you suffer through that. We will go back
to
talking about new cars.
It's a real, real problem, and it's not just the auto industry that's facing it. It's everybody. You know, you will see prices in Walmarts go up.
Sure.
But by 20-25%, and again, I am not an economist, but I have read the history of tariffs and trade wars, and not a single trade war in history has ever worked.
Yep. Well,
and so don't do it.
We will keep you up to date on this as it develops. We don't know where it's going to go, what percentage it will be, whether it's 0 or 25, but. Certainly, it will be something that will have a major effect on what you can buy.
Yes,
and
everyone will feel it.
It may even affect this next car, Les, because I know you were crying in your soup because you wanted to get a Ford GT, and you did not pass the board interview because you said you would have to sell everything you own and you would live in the car.
That's
and I
right.
think they didn't like that.
They actually sent me a letter, and they said, this is the last time we're going to pay 48 cents in postage to tell you you only have 38 cents in the bank.
Well, yes, the Ford GT costs at least $450,000, and the automaker received 6,000 applications. Of that, only 500 were accepted, but according to an article in Motor Authority, applicants that were not accepted now have a second shot at buying this car. They're going to build some more, aren't they?
Well, you know, why wouldn't you? If you have that many people that want one, even though you've announced you're only building a certain amount, it's a crazy business plan to not build more.
Yeah. And it, you know what amazes me? That there is basically a pretty huge pool of people that would drop down $500,000 for a car, basically.
That's right. it's a very large number of people. It's always surprising, you know, how many people have that kind of money.
Yeah. Would you want a car that costs that much, though, if you had
no.
that money? I frankly wouldn't. I'd rather have a variety of cars with, you know, I'd love to have, like, you know, Aston Martins and, yes, Corvettes, because, you know, I'm a big fan. And, oh, sure, a Shelby Mustang. And, you know, I'd rather have a variety of them that I could switch it up.
I'd like to have an Amphicar car.
An Amphicar car.
Yeah. I mean, I think it's cool. I'd like to have a Corvair.
Yeah. Well, I would rather have a collection like Jay Leno. You know?
Oh, of course.
Because that's an esoteric collection. He has some classics. He has some of the, you know, things like he built, like the rear drive Toronado, and and think about it. That would he probably owns a Ford GT too, but I'm just saying I wouldn't need one that costs $500,000. Would I drive it? Absolutely. But
sure. But, I mean, we've driven cars that cost that much, but. I couldn't own one. I'd be afraid to take it to most places I go to.
Yeah, you just can't take it somewhere and just put it in a parking lot or a garage, can you?
Well, no. I mean, I'm thinking, I'm not going to drive it to the Home Depot.
Do they have a roof rack package for the Ford GT?
That's right. And, I'm not going to drive it to the local, CVS drugstore.
No. No.
I'd be so worried about it.
Right. I guess you're really rich if you do drive it and you don't worry about it. that's what says.
That's right.
That's what it's like. Yeah, it's just my car. It's it's yellow and it costs $500,000. Well, anyway, get your pencils sharpened, because if you want a 2019 Ford GT Heritage Edition that's going to commemorate the original Le Mans winning cars, you can put your application in and get one of these cars. So. And then we'll call you and go for a ride in it. How's that sound?
We'll check it out for you.
Yeah, we'll do a full review on cruisecontrolradio.com.
We'll sort it out, and we'll bring you back whatever's left of it.
Yeah, that's right. Well, here's one that's a little bit more affordable. It's still not cheap, but it sounds like a lot of fun. Dodge released yet another version of their Challenger. I don't know how many versions they're up to yet. But this is the 2019 Dodge Challenger RT Scat Pack 1320. Of course, 1320 referring to the traditional length of a drag strip. Now, if you run a nitro-powered car, it is now 1,000 foot. But typically, a drag strip is 1,320 feet. This one is powered by a 485 horsepower, 470 pound-feet of torque, 392 Hemi. It's mated to the legendary, one of my favorite terms in the world, Torque Flight, 8-speed automatic transmission.
Great name.
Yeah. This one, it's sort of like what they do, with the Grand Sport Corvette. They take a little bit of the Z06 and then use the powerful but yet not over the top powerful engine, and this is what they've done here with the Scat Pack. They've included the SRT tuned adaptive damping suspension with drag mode, line lock, trans brake, and torque reserve. And if you're going to go drag racing, this is something you're going to love: extreme duty 41 spline half shafts. That's something you really want, because you don't want to launch and say, "What's that? Oh, it's my tire and axle." It's going down the track without me.
I have seen that happen.
I have seen it happen where a tire comes completely out and rips the whole quarter panel off the car. And it's like, well, that's not good. Get the tape. Standard interior features a driver's seat only to help reduce weight.
That's a good thing. If you're going to only have one seat, I strongly advise it to be the driver's seat.
Well, front passenger seat and rear seats are available as individual $1 options. Now, if you wanted to be collectible, you could certainly order this without the front passenger seat and the rear seat. Obviously, it wouldn't be that usable that way, though, would it?
Well, but why not just order them with the seats and leave the seats out?
But then you would have the holes in the carpet. So this would be like, I never had the seats. It's sort of like you could order it with a radio delete from the factory, or you could just take the radio out and put a block off plate in there.
Right.
You know, I guess.
Right. You know. Delete plate.
Yeah. But it gets Nexen Surf 4G drag spec street legal drag radial tires, which is pretty cool that car from the factory comes with that. So you're going to say, what kind of ETs are you looking at? 11.7 in the quarter, 115 miles an hour in the traps. And that it makes it the Scat Pack 1320, the fastest naturally aspirated street legal muscle car available. Pretty cool. Pretty cool. Now, they also revealed a Hellcat version of the funny car body that is also going to be used in the drag racing NHRA Mellow Yellow drag racing series, and that's pretty cool too. But I think you could probably get more everyday use out of this Scat Pack 1320. But cool vehicles. That's a bit of a heavy car, isn't it? The Dodge Challenger.
Well, it is. Everything's heavy these days. There's so much equipment packed into them.
Yeah. Price. It adds about $4,000 to the manufacturer's suggested retail price. Which is $38,990 for the Dodge Challenger RT Scat Pack. So talk about that. And destination adds $1,395. It's gotten very expensive. Hey, when we come back, we're going to talk about Peugeot coming back to the U.S. And we're going to talk some TurboTech. So keep it tuned to Cruise Control Radio. Cruise Control Radio goes live every Saturday starting at 10 a.m. Eastern. To listen, click the link on our homepage. Go to www.cruisecontrolradio.com.
And you may find yourself behind the wheel of a large automobile.
Cruise Control.
Trivia time, Les. What is the last time a Peugeot was brought into the United States? And what model was it? Do you remember?
Wow. As I recall, it was the diesel.
Yes. That.
But it wasn't the 504.
No. We'll have to Google that. Last Peugeot in U.S. And because this could be interesting, because I have to say, when you go to Europe, they have some incredibly beautiful Peugeots there, don't they?
It's really a fine company. You know, we sort of make fun of it here because it was never at all popular here.
No, they did at one time. I remember advertise an awful lot in the U.S. and now you know Peugeot and all that, and you know, it just went away. Do you think it's a good idea for them to come back? They do have some gorgeous cars.
I think it is. I think, first of all, I would like to see as many European models as there are Japanese and South Korean. Not that I have anything against anybody. It's just I think it's nice to have a nice available variety.
Now,
and Peugeot makes interesting cars. They make very interesting minivans. You know, they're not kind of mainstream. They do things differently.
Yeah, I mean, French cars have always had a little bit of a difference to them, and that's kind of cool. Now, they are going to bring them back. They plan to bring them back. States named are California, Texas, Florida, New York, Illinois, New Hampshire, New Jersey, Arizona, Washington, Massachusetts, Virginia, North Carolina, Georgia, and Maryland. And there's going to be one more state, so 15 states. They last were selling in the U.S. in 1991, and it has plans to reintroduce itself as a car seller in 2026. So pretty cool. There are plans that include car sharing mobility solutions as well. And of course, they PSA, Peugeot's corporate name, includes Citroën, DS, and Opel. I'm not too familiar with DS, are you?
I'm not at all. And I thought Opel was GM's.
Well, they sold
European brand.
They sold it to Peugeot.
No, yeah. DS, I'm not familiar with that.
No, but seems like it will be pretty cool. They're showing a DS7 Crossback, which, of all things, it's a crossover, Les, and it would probably do well in the U.S.
And it's orange.
And it's orange. Orange is the new gray. That's my new.
Yes.
Because a lot of press vehicles are orange. Much to the concern of my neighbors. They always say, "Why do you get orange cars?" And it's like, because that's the ones they send me.
But for so many years, my neighbors and your neighbors have constantly said, "Why is every car you get silver?"
That's right. Well, there was a reason, because silver apparently in all different lighting conditions shows off the lines of the cars for video and photography. So, but now it's gone to orange. By the way, you can check that out on our Facebook page. We have a walk around of the brand new Nissan Kicks, which is orange and black.
It's orange and black, of course.
Yeah. So go over to cruisecontrolradio.com. You can link over and like us on Facebook, follow us on Twitter, check out our page, our YouTube page with videos there. So cool stuff. Cool stuff. You know, I think this is a good thing that Peugeot is coming back to the U.S. I think it will be pretty exciting. As you said, more cars to talk about on Cruise Control Radio. That's the show you're listening to with Fred Staub and Les Jackson. Les, you want to talk a little turbo tech? Turbos are
absolutely
everywhere.
Absolutely.
And apparently they're going to be making an appearance in under the hood of future Ferraris in electric form. And what's interesting about this this kind of patent that they've released in Ferrari is they're going to split it up, because typically the exhaust side and the intake side are put together with a shaft in an electric in any turbocharger. But in this case, Ferrari is breaking that up. And why they do that is the idea that the underhood packaging will be a lot easier to do when the turbine and the compressor aren't physically connected. You think about that. That's one of the big problems of a turbo, the underhood plumbing, because you have to go from one side of the engine to the other, and it sometimes creates problems under the hood. Well, they found a way, Ferrari, to keep both the turbine and the compressor running electrically at the same speed when they're not physically connected. What do you think of that?
That's very interesting. Also, I think it's a great idea, but I have to believe it's really expensive.
That's okay. It's Ferrari.
that's true. But I don't see it easily being passed down to the lower echelon.
No. I think it would be an interesting concept here. If it went mass market, I don't know. I mean, I think electric turbochargers will be a common thing. Audi has a system for that, and they're talking about that. Basically, I think this has to do with underhood arrangement, you know, and packaging, which is going to get smaller and smaller and smaller. So I think that's what you're seeing here. The intake side of the compressor also has a reversible electric motor attached, so it can operate at any time if the computers decide it's beneficial. So as engine RPM increases, the compressor doesn't have to increase its speed beyond its optimal range. Basically, they're taking control of this. And you will virtually eliminate turbo lag, right?
That's right. It would be very much like having a supercharger.
Yeah. So more efficiency. The internal combustion engine lives and will continue on, right?
It will. I mean, it's getting more and more complex, but at the same time, all of the computer control makes them quite reliable.
Mm-hmm. So here's an interesting story, certainly interesting to our friends at KION, our longtime affiliate out there in Monterey, and it has to do with PCH, Pacific Coast Highway, and it's reopening after a landslide. And they're going to have a dream drive down PCH. It will be a convoy. It will have one car from every year dating back to 1934. Wouldn't that be fun?
That's really quite neat.
Yes. It's set up as a collaboration between Caltrans and Visit California. And the drive will feature a car or a motorcycle from every year of the road's history dating all the way back to 1934. And then there will be a car show at Morro Bay, which will be pretty interesting, won't it?
It will. Have you ever driven the Pacific Coast Highway?
I have. My vehicle of choice was a motorhome.
I did it in a 74 Torino wagon.
Wow. You don't see many of those around.
No, you don't. And at no time did I see Dustin Hoffman in an Alpha.
Oh, wow. Well, that's kind of
but
cool.
It's a beautiful road.
Well, this Dream Drive is going to take place on August 9th, and you can learn more about it by going to visitcalifornia.com, and that is the Big Sur page. So visitcalifornia.com, and then click on Big Sur, and it happens August 9th. It is a bucket list item everyone should do. You really can't drive that quickly on it because there's a lot of traffic. But
it's a relatively low-speed road. I'd say your average speed's around 40.
But you know what? It's good because you can look at what is going on around you, and there's some incredible, incredible vistas there. So there you have it. I would just say that's going to be an amazing car show with one car from every year dating back to 1934.
Well, except you know they'll end up with dozens of cars from every year.
Yes, yes. I wish I had the time to do that run. And I wonder if our friend from KION will have his Mustang completed in time to drive it.
I hope so.
Yes.
That'd be nice.
Yeah, yeah. So we'll have to check it out. That would certainly be a great way to break that car in. You're listening to Cruise Control Radio, your on-air automotive magazine. Check us out on the web at cruisecontrolradio.com. You can like us on Facebook, follow us on Twitter. Like I say, we have that new video over there of the Nissan Kicks. When we come back, we're going to do an at-the-wheel review of the 2018 Hyundai Accent Limited Sedan. So keep it tuned to Cruise Control Radio. We'll be right back. Cruise Control Radio goes live every Saturday starting at 10 a.m. Eastern. To listen, click the link on our homepage. Go to www.cruisecontrolradio.com. Feeling a little dim? Don't blame your brain or the weather. Hazy headlights may be the problem. Hazed or cloudy plastic headlights can reduce your vehicle's visibility on the road, making it very difficult to see the road and for other cars to see you. Now you can restore plastic headlight lenses to like-new clarity with the Lens Renewal Kit from 3M, an easy-to-use solution for removing the yellowing and hazing that reduces headlight performance and visibility. For more information, visit www.3mcarcare.com. I got a new car.
I got a new car. Cruise Control.
Les, there's a theme here to Cruise Control Radio this week. We're talking about affordable cars that are not terrible anymore, are they?
Well, that's right. Everything you buy today is good, mm-hmm. In almost every way. You may not like the way it looks or the way it sounds or the way it feels, but they're still good. And you can't really buy, as far as I know, a stripped-down, basic, no-equipment type car anymore.
No. And you know, we talked earlier about the Nissan Kicks starting at $18,000. I've got a car that starts even less than that, and this is my at-the-wheel review. This is the all-new 2018 Hyundai Accent, and ours is the limited edition, which is the top-of-the-line version. It goes SE, SEL, and then limited. This is like a 40-mile-per-gallon sedan. Remember sedans?
They're kind of sit low to the ground and
have four doors and stuff like that. Yeah.
Wow.
This is all new. It's a little bit bigger than it used to be, by a few inches here and there, but it's certainly is quite impressive for an entry level car. Ours had a 1.6 liter engine, and ours had the optional 6-speed automatic transmission. You're looking at about 130 horsepower, 119 pound-feet of torque, had a sport mode and an eco mode. I thought for a car of this price, it was pretty quiet, and they have done a lot of work in the 2018 Accent to improve the NVH and ride quality. Also, had Android Auto and Apple CarPlay, so I was able to hook up my phone and see, have a navigation system, which we used and worked really well. It's thoroughly modern on the outside. It has that kind of flow-through grille on the front, which makes it look a lot more expensive than it really is. And in the premium level, it had things like projector LED daylight running lights, power sunroof, 17-inch alloys, LED taillights, and we got the available fog lights. It is built of 54.5% advanced high-strength steel, which makes it light but super strong. All of them come with cloth upholstery, but the front seats were heated. And what's kind of cool, they give you this app called Blue Link, and you can do all kinds of things with it. You can remotely unlock and lock the doors. You can start the engine. You can turn on the climate control or the seat heaters. You can find the car. You can do destination search and send to car applications. You also can do SOS emergency assistance. This is through your smartphone, and they give you, I believe, a year of this service, which is pretty, pretty cool. You know, once again, something that you would not think would come on an entry-level sub $20,000 car, right?
Absolutely.
It's got all the safety features, including electronic stability control, ABS, of course, front and front side impact and side curtain airbags. It has a rear view camera with dynamic guidelines. And it does have, ours did have, because it was the premium model, which is the only model to get that, it does have the emergency braking as well, which I would say is certainly something you want to think about. And any vehicle, it's worth, like, let's say the SE starts before destination at $13,495, the limited before destination $17,000. Frankly, that alone is worth the price of admission, that emergency braking. So we would really encourage you to buy that. But overall, the vehicle was nicely finished, even in the trunk for an inexpensive vehicle. It was quiet. It drove well. What's interesting is this does not have electric steering. It actually has motor-driven power steering, the old school way of doing it. I found that kind of interesting. I guess it's kind of a cost feature, but you would think nowadays they would have that, right?
Well, yeah, but of course the engine is largely unchanged in structure and in size for many years, so I'm sure that they're just using that architecture until they decide to change it.
And you look at some of the length changes over the older model, like the width is about 1.2 inches wider, the height is the same, the wheelbase goes from 101.2 to 101.6. So a little bit of a step up in there. The interior was nicely modern. Of course, it's dominated by the 7-inch TFT LCD display that gets you CarPlay and all that. It had very nice air conditioning. You know, you could set the temperature, dual air conditioning. Pretty cool for a car of that price. And overall, nicely finished car. What didn't I like? Okay, well, ours was equipped in urban gray, which is sort of a metallic gray. I did notice some modeling in the paint, which can come from variations in air pressure or even how the gun paints the car. In this case, I'm sure it's a robot. Looked a little mottled at times. Not terrible, but not, you know, like some of our friends who are incredible painters would paint. You know, I think the vehicle handled well. I think sometimes the 6-speed automatic was kind of hunting for gear, which is not a problem that is unique to the Accent or Hyundai or anything. I find that in a lot of vehicles. But overall, for the price, ours was $18,895, and then you have destination added on top of that, which is almost $1,000 nowadays. I saw almost, I think it was 39.6 miles to the gallon on the highway. That's incredible,
wow.
Isn't it?
That's wonderful.
Yeah. So certainly you can get into this for under $20,000. It has mostly everything you want in a car. decent rear leg room. Didn't look cheap. You know, it is an inexpensive car, but it certainly would be a great first car for somebody. With all that, you know, once again, we recommend you get the limited edition, which has the automatic braking and the other safety features. It does not come or does not, it does not offer lane departure. And I'm not sure if it had blind spot monitoring. I don't think it did. I don't think that is offered. But you do get cruise control. You do get a leather wrap wheel, heated front cloth seats, which you don't normally see. Normally, cloth seats are not heated, but in this case, they were. You do get that Blue Link app, at least for, I believe, a year, which is pretty cool. Certainly something that you don't even see in higher-end cars. And let's not forget, you get that 10-year, 100,000-mile powertrain warranty, 7-year unlimited anti-perforation warranty, 5-year, 60,000-new vehicle warranty. So it's well-warranted, like any Hyundai. It's not yet rated on the 5-star safety rating, so we don't know about how that will come through because it is a brand-new vehicle. But I would say, if you're looking for a basic car for not a lot of change nowadays, the Hyundai 2018 Accent Limited would be a good vehicle to check out. It punches above its weight, I believe, or price point.
Yeah, it's a real value.
Yeah, and you think about Accents of the past. They were just little tiny roller skates, weren't they?
That's true. You think of them as just little entry-level cars, basic, which they're not.
Yeah, so a lot of safety features, a lot of luxury features, too, for a small car. Hey, we appreciate you listening to Cruise Control Radio. Don't forget, check us out over at cruisecontrolradio.com. You can like us on Facebook, follow us on Twitter. It's all there, cruisecontrolradio.com. And check out our videos, too, on YouTube. Time for me to say, I'm Fred Staub.
I'm Les Jackson.
We're going to see you down the road.
Bye.
Cruise Control Radio is your on-air automotive magazine. Go to www.cruisecontrolradio.com for more information.